and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David continues the series on relationships as he takes a look at parenthood and we celebrate Father's Day. Let's listen.
Well, I got an early Father's Day gift this last week. It was a handwritten note from one of my daughters. You see, I can't remember exactly what happened, but I thought Zoe did something wrong, and so I sent her to her room, and as a punishment, I said, Zoe, go and clean your room, and then come back downstairs, and, you know, think about what you've done. Well, 5 minutes later, she came downstairs, and I was like, hey, are you done? Are you done cleaning your room? She looked at me, she said, no, but she handed me this note. I thought, oh, interesting. Okay, maybe it's an apology note. And so I grabbed it and started reading it. I think we have a picture of it that we'll show you on the screen. It simply said on the front, you are the not kindest daddy. And then when you opened it up, it said, I do not like how you act around me, Daddy Bonema. I am really mad, Dad, and sad. Put yourself in my boots, from Zoe Bonema, ... mad. Parenting's not for the faint of heart, is it? No, you need to have a bit of thick skin when parenting and really find the humor in most aspects of it. And so I know I've been parenting just for, 7.5 years now, and it is a roller coaster. It's got so many ups and downs, but oh my goodness, how much fun it is, because you never quite know what's going to happen next, what your child is going to do, or what is going to come around that next bend. Well, today is Father's Day, and we are in week 3 of our summer series, where we study the topic of relationships, and particularly what the scriptures have to say to us about those different topics. So what better day to talk about parenting than Father's Day? Now, if you are not a parent, don't click off just yet. Don't say, oh, there's nothing for me in this sermon. I'll just tune in next week. No. If you're not a parent, that's okay. Because what we're going to study today, in many ways, is universal. Most everybody has someone in their life that looks up to them. Someone younger than them that they look to as a role model. And those same sort of scriptural themes that speak to parents speak to all of us that have those people in our lives who look up to us. But whether you're an aunt or an uncle or a mentor or maybe just a neighbor to some younger neighbor kids, whatever it is, these scriptures will be for you as well. Now, what does the Bible have to say about parenting? It turns out a lot, and we can't cover it all today, but what we can do is we can look at one specific passage that dives into some central principles for parenting. This passage is written by Moses, and it's in the book of Deuteronomy, towards the end of Moses' life. It's at the point where Moses realizes he's going to die, and he wants to share with really all of Israel some of the central truths that they have learned about God. And so he gathers everybody up. He says, Israel, come on, you know, come here. I've got to share with you these last central truths that we know about God until before I pass away. And so he does so, and those words are captured in the book of Deuteronomy. If you've not read that book recently, I highly encourage you to do so. It is quite of a moving book and a portrait of what Moses believed were important. This is how this begins, this speech of what is truly important about God. We'll pick it up right here when Moses says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. So who is this message for? This message that Moses is about to share with Israel? Well, it's for you, and it's for your children, and it's for your grandchildren. Yes, what Moses is saying is that this message is so important, it needs to be passed down from generation to generation. This is not a message just to keep to yourself. It's not an individualized message simply for you. It is a message that needs to be passed down. Really, we could keep going. Moses might have said, hey, this is for your children's 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 children. And this message is so important that it's for your children's 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 children. And really, it's for, well, you get the idea. It is to be passed down from generation to generation. Moses is really a great teacher. And so right off the bat, he summarizes the main point of his message. If you don't have time to read the whole book of Deuteronomy, you're going to get the Cliff Notes version right here of what Moses believes to be most important. This is the message that needs to be passed down to each new generation. Moses says this in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We briefly mentioned that command a couple of weeks ago when we began this series and talked about the Trinity. Now, this week, we're going to go a little bit more in depth into it. If you remember from a couple weeks ago, this command is called the Shema. This command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. In Judaism, we studied how this command, the Shema, was recited at every worship service. And not only that, but it was recited each morning and each evening. So a faithful Jew, twice a day, would remind themselves of this command, saying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. Now, this was not done in a legalistic way. We sometimes think of the commands as God as almost a burden of religion. You know, these are the things that you have to do so that God doesn't get mad at you. But that is not how, in Judaism, these commands were viewed. No, instead, these commands were viewed as a simple recognition of what is important to center your life around. The reason why you would remind yourself of these commands at least twice a day is because you, as a human, were to center yourself and your whole life around these words. And they recognized that as humans, our hearts are prone to wander. We are prone to drift and forget these commands if we do not consistently come back to them. It's like saying that this belief is central to who I am. I'm a person who must love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my strength. In Judaism, to say that, to say heart, soul, and strength, was another way of saying you are loving God with the totality of your being. That's the whole person right there. They understood the heart as an expression to say, this is what I truly love most, right? I love it with all my heart. Your heart represented that which you desire the most. It's another way of saying, I desire God more than anything else in this life. And your soul was understood to be your very being, your very essence, what made you, you. And so that's like saying, I'm loving God with everything that I am. And your strength was understood to be anything in your life, your physical means that you used to support yourself, whether that is a financial means, whether that is physical strength, whether that's your emotional capacity, anything that you use to physically support yourself, that's your strength. And you're loving God with all of that. Yes, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your strength. What do these words have to do with parenting? Well, what we're about to find out is that Christians have the opportunity to organize their families around these words. Yes, these words can become one of the central beacons in which a family is organized around. Let's see how. So Moses takes this command that should be passed down to each generation, and now he gives practical advice for how people and families can organize their lives around these commands. He says this in verse 6, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Yes, right here we have some very practical advice for how to organize your family around the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. So let's break it down, because Moses says a couple of important things here. The first thing that Moses says is that these commands, you are to impress the commands onto your children. Well, how? How do you impress a command onto your children? I mean, after all, children are autonomous people, right? With their own beliefs, with their own thoughts, their own attitudes. I can barely get my kids to clean their rooms, much less obey a command that I give to them. You cannot simply say, as a parent to a child, believe in God and love God with all of your heart, and your child will say automatically, okay, sounds great. No, if only it were that easy. But children and teenagers, I mean, they are their own being created by God. And Moses simply says that we should impress these commands onto them. Well, I found that really intriguing. And so I decided to do a little bit of research this week to find out what does that word impress really mean. So I went back and looked at the Hebrew, and I was surprised at what I found. In Hebrew, that word that we translate impress is shanan, and it is actually to sharpen. That's kind of a strange word choice, isn't it? So the impress on your children or sharpen onto your children? Now, I didn't really understand that until I began to dig a little bit deeper. I came across and really like this definition of sharpen. It says sharpening is the process of making a knife or a similar tool sharp by grinding against a hard, rough surface over time. Well, Hebrew words were often rooted in pictures. And so I want you to picture sharpening right now, sharpening some sort of instrument. And as you picture that, ask yourself, how quick is that process? I mean, can you just sharpen something once and then boom, it's sharp, you're good to go? Well, no, right? No, sharpening, the act of sharpening requires slow, consistent effort over an extended period of time. Now, doesn't that remind you of parenting a little bit? Because parenting is this slow, consistent process that's akin to sharpening an instrument. Which makes me think that this English translation is actually quite good, because to impress upon a person is to make a mark onto that person over a long period of time. Yes, to love the Lord your God with all that you are, you teach that through a lifelong process of modeling it to your child. It does not happen overnight. It won't happen even in a year. This sharpening process, this impressing process, this modeling process, it doesn't end when your children move out of the house. It doesn't end when your children graduate. This is a lifelong process that you get to do with your children, which means that at any age, if you are a parent, you are still in this process. You are still in the impressing process. If you're a grandparent, that simply means that you get to model this way of loving God with all that you are, both to your kids and to your grandkids. If you're an aunt or an uncle, you get to do that with your nieces and nephews. If you're a role model to someone, you get to model this sort of love as part of the impressing process onto whoever looks up to you. Yes, we get to make our mark, sharpening this impressing process in parenting over a very long period of time. What a gift that is. Well, that's the first principle that Moses talks about. When you organize your life around these sort of commands and organize your family around these sort of commands, the first step is the impressing process, which is an extended process. But Moses doesn't stop there. Here's the second thing he recommends. Moses says, create opportunities for conversations about faith. And from the verse in Deuteronomy, talk about them, meaning the commands, when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So many rabbis in Judaism believed that the best way to learn was through conversation. I know many of us learned about faith more through rote memorization, where it would say, hey, here's a Bible verse, memorize that, and now believe that. And there's definite value in memorization. But in Judaism, the rabbis often taught through conversation. And that's what Moses is really advocating for here. He's asking us in our lives to look for opportunities to talk about faith, which really, that process begins when you start noticing God in your life, where you can start saying, well, what experiences am I having with God right now? Or where am I seeing God at work in my world right now? And when you notice, God, it's then taking it a step further and not keeping it to yourself, but having that conversation with your children. And it's simply a conversation of you saying, well, listen, this is what I'm experiencing right now. This is what I'm noticing right now about God. And then having that conversation with your child. I like how the scriptures put it, where Moses is saying, you can do this anywhere, no matter where you are, whether you're at home or walking along the road, wherever you are, look for opportunities to talk about God. I had literally just been studying this concept this past week when Zoe came into my home office. And normally, when she comes in, I talk with her for a couple minutes, and then I say, okay, go run along, I gotta finish my work. But because I had just been studying about looking for opportunities to talk about faith, I thought, well, this is it. This is my opportunity. I can have a conversation right now. And so Zoe really opened it up quite well. She said, hey, what are you working on, Dad? And I said, well, I'm writing my sermon. And my sermon is about what the Bible says about parenting. And then I thought to myself, I was like, here's my chance. And I looked at her, I said, so Zoe, do you think I'm doing a pretty good job teaching you about God? And without missing a beat, she shrugs her shoulders and goes, not really, but I love playing with you. And then she skipped off. I was like, parenting. Not only do you need thick skin, it's a humbling experiencing sometimes, isn't it? But that's, you know, that's all a part of parenting. And that just means that I and we can look for more opportunities to talk about our faith and our experiences with God, with our children. This, too, is something that can happen at any age. It does not matter how old your children are, or if you think your children aren't listening to you anymore. No, we always look up to our parents. And so whatever age you are, continue this modeling process and look for opportunities to share about your own authentic experiences with God. Moses says one more really helpful thing about organizing our families around these scriptures. The third thing is this: create visible and tangible reminders of God in your home. The scriptures say, tie them, meaning the commands, tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Well, historically, some in Judaism took this command very literally and created something that was called a tefillin. And a tefillin was a small box that then housed a very small scroll with these commands written on them. And the command, as you read them here, was to keep them on your forehead, right, your mind, and to bind them on your wrists, right, carry those commands with you so that you're always thinking about them. You're always reflecting on them, what it means to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and strength. And so some went so far as to create a box that they then actually bound to their forehead. We've got a picture of it that we'll show you of one Orthodox Jew with the tefillin on his head and the scriptures of the Shema within that tefillin. We also have another picture that shows more of a group, and what I want you to notice in this picture is that it's also bound to this group's wrist so that they will literally carry those commands with them wherever they went throughout their day. We'll talk about visible, tangible, constant reminders, right? Reminders of who they are and what they are centering their life around. Well, in a similar way, these words were kept on the doorposts of a person's home. And that began to be used, the practice where they developed something that would hang on a doorpost called a mezuzah. And a mezuzah was a container, again, that housed a very small scroll, and that scroll had the writing of the Shema. We've got a picture of what a mezuzah looks like. There's a whole bunch of different types of mezuzahs that you could buy, and you'd hang it on your door frame, again, as a tangible reminder, something that you would see multiple times every day and would remind you who you are and whose you are. Well, thinking about this and reading about what Moses is encouraging, it made me wonder, how can we apply this practice to us today? I mean, I would guess most of us do not have a mezuzah hanging in our homes, but what can we do to have a consistent, tangible reminder of these commands in our homes? Well, I think the options are plentiful and contextual. Each one of you can probably come up with something different that would help you and your family, but I'll show you one thing that my family does. We have a framed Bible verse that's hanging right by our door. It's from Joshua, and it's the verse that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then it says, "The Bonema family." And I can't tell you how much I appreciate having that hanging by our door, because every time I leave the house, it reminds me I am God's. And as I go and interact with people, my interactions should reflect that, should reflect that knowledge that me and my household, we are the Lord's. And that means that every time I come back into the house and I notice that again, it reminds me that my interactions with my family should also be reflecting this knowledge that this house belongs to God and that I belong to God. Yes, what sort of tangible, visible reminders can you create for your home? This is really especially good for children. Right? Because children learn through experience, through touch, through sight, through all of those sort of tangible reminders. And so having something that they can see and touch and experience that reminds them of God can be so, so helpful. Well, all of this is to say that parenting is beautiful and complex, right? Yes, parenting, it's exhausting, but it's also energizing, isn't it? You know, parenting can fill you with hope and awe, but can also, at times, be deeply disappointing, can't it? Parenting can be life-giving, but also energy-depleting. At the end of the day, as a parent, you get the sacred opportunity to raise your child in the love of God. Please, do not take that opportunity lightly. Now, let me say this clearly. You are not responsible for your child's faith. No, that is something that is between them and God. But you do get to start the conversation. You get to start that conversation between your child and God. You get to create the foundation of faith upon which then your child can build their life upon. And the words of Deuteronomy give us a solid framework for how to do just that. Now, parents, you are going to make mistakes. Your kids will blame you for something when they get old enough to realize that not all parents are perfect. And that's okay. Do the best you can. Have grace with yourself. And in whatever ways you can, organize your family and your life around these principles to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.